This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Tonight we stand amazed in your presence at the wonder of your glory, at your awesome kindness and mercy that we enjoy day to day. Again, Lord, we come to make appearance in your presence. We ask that you cause our strength to grow from strength to strength, from grace to grace. Thank you, Holy Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Hallelujah. I want to welcome everyone again tonight. The Lord began to make me see over the night that there were some yokes that were cause related that he has begun to break. After we left here from service last night, if you had a sign that a yoke in your life broke and you want to share with us, because from last night while we prayed, the Lord said he was going to give a sign. And while I prayed in the course of the night, I began to see those signs that he had already started breaking yokes. If you wish to share very briefly with us, can I see your hand? Yes, please, can you pass the mic to our sister over there quickly? Because I saw very definite signs over the night of curses breaking. Over here, please. Raise your hand so they can see you.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
After my night prayers yesterday, I went to sleep and in the course of a dream, I saw myself in an open field. The dream was actually complex, but what I picked from the dream was that during, as I was dreaming, I saw myself being pursued by so many persons. And when I entered, I ran into a field. I saw people hiding. Then I wanted to collect something from that field. I actually came to that field to collect something. And the person is looking so rascal. He now said that the reason why he's permitting me to collect this thing is because of the provost. That is how he said it. That is because of the provost that is allowing me to collect this thing. So when I woke up, I just said, because of the provost, because of the blood of Jesus. Because I remembered in the course of the ministration, I was actually pleading the blood of Jesus over some certain issues in my life. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when we are in an encounter, God normally uses the face of authority figures that we recognize. Amen. Anybody else want to share? Yes. Our sister at the back. We'll just take that and then we'll continue.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Usually in my dreams, no matter how I pray, no matter how the anointing manifested, I would dream. Even with my money, I want to buy something. The dream, I will be refused. But last night, I was not here. I followed online, the hostel. And in my dream, in fact, throughout the night, it was so unusual. I dream very stupid, nonsense dreams. I cannot make sense out of. But last night, throughout, there is one I can particularly remember. I went to get something, and even without paying, I wanted to buy this time around. Without paying, I was given the stuff I wanted.
Can we celebrate? Praise the Lord. The things stolen from you will be recovered in this season. This night, I just want to lay a few biblical precedents, and then I will release us to pray. Hallelujah. Because God in this season wants to break curses. From last night, we began to introduce the subject of curses. And one of the major texts that we looked at, I would like us to quickly review, so I do a recap, is in Deuteronomy 11, verse 26 through verse 28. He says, behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing, if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse, if ye will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. There's a question I want to start answering before I go into the subject of tonight. And the question is, when there is a curse, who brings the curse? Who releases the curse? Who originates the curse? Who brings the curse? From the case study that we saw in Genesis chapter 3 in our lesson last night, we saw that God pronounced a curse on the serpent, on the woman, and on the man as an act of judgment on their rebellion. From this passage, we now clearly see that whereas in Genesis, God was active in pronouncing a blessing on man immediately after his creation and pronouncing a curse on man immediately after his rebellion. But at this point, curse and blessing have become an automated system. They have become institutionalized. They now have a life of their own, such that there are conditions, if when met, blessing will become automatic. It will become spontaneous. And there are other conditions, if when met, a curse will become automatic. It will become spontaneous. So it as though you can engage your will to activate a blessing on your own life, and you can engage your will to activate a curse on yourself. From last night lessons, we saw that a blessing and a curse are not a mere wish that it should be well with someone in the case of blessing, or it should be ill with someone in the case of a curse. Rather, there are very powerful channels of unleashing a supernatural reality, a supernatural possibility, a force that will actualize itself. So in this passage of scripture, it is clear. God said, I place before you a blessing and a curse. So in this regard, you can activate a blessing on yourself, and you can activate the evil power of a curse on yourself. And these two are with respect to the laws of God. If you obey God's laws, you activate the supernatural power of a blessing whereby, without any other additional effort, you will become empowered to prosper. You will become empowered to prevail. Things will be compelled to work in your favor. However, if you begin to violate the commands of God, you will activate an evil power driven by intelligent persons, though without bodies, to compel everything around your life to bring you harm, misfortune, defeat, failure, even death and destruction. So for someone asking, how does a curse come? In this passage is clearly revealed that a curse can be activated by the action of an individual. Let's say you engage in cheating someone, in defrauding someone, in stealing from someone, in treating someone unjustly. All of these things are violations of the laws of God in the command, thou shalt love thy neighbor. So when you break that law of love and go out of your way, you see what he said there? But if you turn aside out of the way which I have commanded you, there is a way God had commanded us. When you turn out of that way willfully, you break that hedge, you break that restraint on how God requires us to live our life. When you break out of that restraint, you may call it a restraint, you don't know it's your protection. So when you break out of it, you are making yourself vulnerable to the evil power of a curse. Regardless of whether the person in their grief utters a negative wish on you or not, even if they utter a blessing on you, it's even worse, according to Romans. This is what brings a curse. Hallelujah. Now, a second channel by which curses come is the one we are all familiar with, which is through the bloodline, generational curse. And that is what I'm trusting God that we will break over our lives tonight. Exodus chapter 34, verse 6. In Exodus 34, verse 6, we have the account of the time when the children of Israel were on their way to the promised land, and because of cycles and cycles of rebellion, God eventually decided that he wasn't going to continue the journey with them because they keep grieving him every day. He was going to send an angel that will finish the job, that will escort them to the promised land and give them their inheritance. He doesn't want to have anything to do with them personally again. And Moses cried to God and said, if your presence will not go with us, we are not going to move one more step. And he went on to say, as a matter of fact, you have asked me to lead all of these people, but I don't even know you. I have not met with you. At least in Egypt, we know each of the gods and the deities that the Egyptians worship. But all of these times you were interacting with me, giving me instructions, I'm carrying out your instructions, I don't even know you. I want to meet with you. I want to see you. And then he tells Moses, nobody can see my face and leave, but I will grant your request. I'm going to schedule an appointment with you, and on the day of the appointment, when you show up, I'm going to place you on my side and cover you, And then I will cause my goodness to pass before you. And then as I pass, I will take my hand off where I have covered you. And then you will see my back. Because nobody can see my face and survive it. So it's not a question of, I don't want to show my face. It's a question of, you can't survive it. Do you get the point? And so we have that moment now that God is revealing himself to Moses. That's where we are in verse 6. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. This is God introducing himself to Moses. He is revealing his character. He is revealing his personality. Since Moses said, I want to meet with you, and he had granted that request, now he is showing himself to Moses. And he is telling Moses, this is who I am. If there is any knowledge you need in your life, it is the knowledge of the person, the knowledge of the character of God. You know, many times we talk about you need to know God for yourself, you need to know God for yourself, and it has become a cliche. I want you to know that the things that I just read to you, this is who he is. That he is merciful. He is long-suffering. He showed mercy to thousands. He pardons iniquity. He forgives transgression. And he forgives sin. And he can store mercy up for a thousand generations, such that if he decides to show someone mercy, he can so store up the mercy that both his children, to his children's children, to the thousandth generation, can be enjoying from that mercy. That is the kind of person he is. But that is not all he is. He also went ahead to say that he will by no means clear the guilty. This is an aspect of the nature of God that is lost on our generation. That is to say, you will never get away with a wrong. You realize that one of the major reasons why people trivialize the laws of God is because they feel they could get away with it. God says, will by no means clear the guilty. I don't know if you can fathom the full import of that statement. Maybe to add a little more clarity to it, can we have Proverbs 11:21? He said, though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. The seed of the righteous shall be delivered. Some years ago, I had this young lady that I was discipling, and very, very focused young lady, very dedicated young lady. And a season of her life, because of the things going on around her, she began to become troubled. So troubled that she almost began to let down her high ideals. She was a very principled lady that was so strict on herself in such a way that she kept a pure life. But something began to happen. She realized that she observed the people that led a virtuous life, that led a pure life, that followed God with passion and impurity until they got married. And after they got married, they had crisis in their homes, and some of them, their homes fell apart. And so she began to ask herself, there are so many guys around her trying to cut her, trying to buy her stuff just so they can have their way with her. And she had been denying herself all these pleasures. And most of the times, when these proposals, when they come, they are in seasons where she is going through so much difficulty. And she began to think to herself that all this denial of these pleasures that I am denying myself for, just to wait until I get married. Look at this person. She kept her virginity. She kept herself pure until she got married, in hope that if you are faithfully following God like that, He should bless your home. Look at that one. After all the pain of self-denial, her home fell apart. Look at the other one. The same thing happened to her. So, what is the point? Why is she putting herself through this pressure? Why is she not enjoying herself? Because she had other girls around who clubbed throughout. It's as though the reason why they came to the university is to enjoy the liberty of sexual perversion. They don't spend weekends at home in the hostel. Led very terrible lifestyle. And in their final year, husband come cheaply for them. They get married. They move on with their life. Have good children. And they are blessed. In fact, the kind of people that come to marry them are people that have cars, have a stable income, have a comfortable life. And it's these people she had been thinking that with the way this person is going with this kind of lifestyle, their life will get damaged. Those ones married early, married a very wealthy person, and they are doing well with their life. This one that denied herself, struggled, eventually one broke him, and they say, don't look at him, just look at their destiny. They have a glorious destiny. The marriage was a struggle. To pay was a challenge. They somehow managed. They got wedded. Eventually, the marriage became so troubling, disturbing, challenges. And then the marriage fell apart. So, why should I put myself under this kind of pressure of self-denial if this is going to be the outcome? There are people practicing wickedness and they are prospering. And it's as though they are getting away with it. And then some mind will tell you, maybe they say they will pay in eternity. When they die, they will go to hell. Some of these people, after they did all the evil they did and they enjoy all the prosperity, along the line, while you are still in your wilderness experience, they gave their life to Christ. They came and joined you in church. And life continued. And things were fine. Now they are not going to go to hell. So why should I deny myself when I know that after all, He is merciful? If I enjoy this pleasure of sin for this moment, I can still come and cry and ask Him for mercy, and He will forgive me. You don't know the severity of God. He said He will by no means clear the guilty. He said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, unto the third and to the fourth generation. This is the biblical premise that is a law whereby a curse that a man stepping into rebellion activates on himself can stay activated and open, can stay operational through his life, and when he had died, it will continue in the lives of his bloodline. Now, there's a second question that I want to quickly respond to. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. He said, yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father? When the son had done that which is lawful and right, and had kept all my statutes, and had done them, he shall surely live. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Then also in Galatians chapter 3 verse 13, the Bible did say that Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. So on the basis of these two premises, if God says it is the soul that sinneth that shall die, the son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, that parable is going to be put out. And then in Galatians, the Bible says Christ has already redeemed us from the curse of the law. And we are now Christians. So where is the premise for generational curses against the life of a believer? I even saw a preacher on YouTube recently that says generational curses are a fallacy, on the basis of the fact that Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, and on the basis of the fact that the son shall not have his teeth set on edge when it was the father that ate the sour grape. So is God confusing us? When he says, I will visit the iniquity of the father on the children, to the children's children, to the third and fourth generation. And then the same God in Old Testament said, all souls are mine. Is he contradicting himself? That is what I want to clarify tonight. And then I'll share a few more things, and then we will begin to pray. So, let's go to Exodus now. Chapter 20. We'll read from verse 1 to verse 6. Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Number 1. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in the heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Hallelujah. Is it possible for a believer to come under the impact of a generational curse? The answer is yes and no. So let's look at why it can be a yes. Let's go to verse 5. In verse 5, he says, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that what? Of them that what? Hate me. Generational curses travels along the line of iniquities of the bloodline. He said this judgment will come on the generation of them that hate me. Every generational curse travels along the line of the iniquity of the bloodline. What do I mean by that? For a curse to leave the father and come upon the child, you will observe that curses travel hand in hand with the legitimacy of violations. Are you with me? So what is going to happen is the same kind of iniquity that you will find in the father, you will find traces of it in the child. And that is what legitimizes the curse on the next generation. Let's pick one case study from scripture. Genesis chapter 20, verse 1 and 2. And Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur, and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Is that the truth? The fact that they are somehow related is the fact of their relation by family stronger than the fact of the relation they have by marriage. Are you with me? Because of time, I don't want to take us to where he had already discussed this with Sarah. He said, you know, you're a very beautiful woman. And you know, as we are traveling like this, when we come to a particular community, they will see that you're a very beautiful woman. And they will know that you are my wife. And because human beings are wicked, they will kill me so that they will have a legitimate ground to marry you. Please, my sister. You know, when a husband starts calling his wife my sister, you know, there's a burden. Say, my sister. You know, we are sisters. Please, anybody that asks you about me, tell them I am your what? I am your brother. Do you realize that the Bible says Abraham was barren, isn't it? And if you check the, how many of us did the assignment I asked us to do? Did you read that passage? If you did, let me see your hand. Okay. Let me see the hand again. So the rest of us, if you were present last night and you didn't do the assignment, let me see your hand. Raise it above your head. Let me know the people who select from deliverance tonight. Barrenness is a symptom of a curse. It's in that list in Deuteronomy 28. You realize that this man had this curse of barrenness on his life. But do you think that this barrenness on him, his father had it as a curse on his own life? Who is the father of Abraham? Terah. Did Terah have the curse of barrenness in his life? why are you thinking? If he was barren, how come he gave birth to Abraham? But do you realize that the same barrenness is also in the life of Isaac? Genesis 20 verse 5. Genesis 20 verse 5. It says, she is who? My sister. Is that a violation of the law of God? That is a lie. And it's a violation. Now, let's go to Genesis chapter 26. In Genesis 26, the Bible says, and there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries. I will perform the oath which I swore unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and statutes, my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him of his wife. And he said, what? She is my sister. For he feared to say, she is my wife. Lest, say he, the men of the place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon. And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked out at the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, behold, of a surety she is thy wife. And how sayest thou she is my sister? And Isaac said unto him, because I said, lest I die for her. And Abimelech said, what is this thou hast done unto us? One of the people might lightly have lain with thy wife, and thou shouldest have brought guiltiness upon us. Did you see the same trace of bloodline iniquity? Are you with me? Whenever a curse is going to move from one generation to another, it will move on the legitimate ground of the iniquity of the bloodline. If you see a pattern in your grandfather from the stories you heard, in your father, and you are also seeing the pattern in your life, and you identify that pattern as a curse, don't be quick to jump. Also check, what is the iniquity they were known for that is finding expression in your life? Curses travel from one generation to the other on the ground of iniquity that travels in the bloodline. And you see, there are some of these curses that are programmed. They have a clock when they activate. And so, when the clock had not yet arrived in your life can still be normal. And then you may see yourself having some kind of lust, some kind of pet sin. And when you ask questions, you realize that your father was like that. And then you feel, you know, in our family, we just have this challenge. That challenge is the reason for the curse in that family. As long as you defend that iniquity as the challenge, you know, we are very proud people in my family. Our family name, you don't insult us anyhow and get away with it. You are already defending the iniquity in the bloodline of your family. Get ready, because the curse in that bloodline will also follow you. The challenges in that bloodline will also follow you. Second reason why curses travel, even among covenant people, is found in John chapter 20, verse 23. This is Jesus' parting words to his disciples. He said, "Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sin ye retain, they are retained." Now, let's look at that passage carefully. He said, "Whosoever sin ye remit." Where will it be remitted? Oh my. Let's try it again. Please look at the passage. He said, "Whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted where?" They are remitted where? Okay. The next part says, "Whosoever sin ye retain, they are retained." Where are they retained? Unto where? Where is he retained? You are not told. Let me tell you. He said, "Whosoever sin ye remit is remitted unto them." Whosoever thing you retain, who is the one retaining it? Where is he retained? Generational curses travels on the ground of unforgiveness. This is the reason why you will see a man to be a terrible drunk, molest his wife, abuse his children, hates himself. And when you ask him, it will shock you to realize that his father was a terrible drunk, molest the wife, abuse the children, and hates himself. And it moves from one generation to another. The reason why it is so is because while this man now was a child and he saw his father drunk, coming to beat his mother, molest the mother, abuse everybody in the house, he hated his father for it. That hatred now gave that spirit that made the father be like that authority over his own life. Now he is grown and he vowed he will never touch a woman. And when he marries, upon growing up, he will ensure that what his mother went through, his wife will never go through. What he didn't realize is, because he didn't remit the sin of his father to his father and forgive, that iniquity was retained. Now he can't help himself but to drink and get frustrated in drunkenness and beat his wife the exact way his father beat his mother. And there's nothing he can do about it. You will see a young lady living a promiscuous life, and her own promiscuity is such that she can't even help herself. She hates herself for it. But how did it begin? When she was little, somebody sexually molested her, and she grew to hate that person. Because she didn't release the person and remit that evil unto the person, that spirit is retained. Now, she has lost complete value for herself. And she is the one molesting herself with that life of promiscuity. This is how curses travel when there is unforgiveness. These are the laws. The person that made this statement is the same person that spoke creation into existence. So the laws that governs the universe is the same person that made those laws that made these utterances. He said, whosoever sin ye remit, they are remitted unto them. So whenever you resolve that no matter the pain, no matter the hurt, no matter the evil someone did to you, when you choose to forgive them, you are the one saving yourself. When you forgive, you set yourself free. Free from the evil of that hurt. When you decide to retain it, you have retained the hurt on yourself. You have also retained all the garbage that comes with that hurt and the legitimate authority of that unclean spirit that created that hurt in the first place on yourself. That is how it works. You want to be free from a generational curse? Watch out for these two things. Number one, what is the iniquity in your bloodline? What are your people known for? What are your families known for? What are your relatives known for? What are the pet sins that are normal in your family that you guys protect, you make excuses for, you defend, you explain that this is how we are? It's my weakness. Check that your weakness will also bring the curse that will be your curse. Generational curses travel on the line of bloodline, iniquity of the bloodline. It also travels on the line of unforgiveness. Your father did something to you that was so heinous. You were pained by it. And up till now, he had not admitted that what he did to you was evil. He is still proud. He still refused to tell you he is sorry. And you held it. The curses in that bloodline will follow you. Because you opened the door. You gave them that platform. You held on to that thing. You have refused to let it go. He said, whosoever sins ye retained, they are what? Retained. But it's not only the sin that will be retained. The curses in that bloodline will also be retained. I would like to stop on this point tonight and show us a few quick ways to break a generational curse. Number one, you must bring repentance. If you notice any pattern in your family, investigate what activates that pattern. It could be that your grandfather or your great-grandfather, they committed an abominable act. Most often than not, it's usually something connected to killing people. Our father was teaching the other day and he says, one of the things that opens spiritual warfare is bloodletting. The Bible says, even if hand joined to hand, the guilty will never go unpunished. Whether the joining of hands is to become a member of a fellowship and you join hands with them in fellowship. If there is an iniquity in your bloodline, it will haunt you into that congregation. And you will notice that there is a sin you can't help yourself. You always fall into it. You ask God for mercy, but you fall again. That sin is what legitimizes that curse on your bloodline. You must repent. Ask questions. Ask your father. Ask your mother. Ask your village people. What are the strange things we are experiencing now? What happened in the past? There are many people that come from communities where they have royalties and ordinary people. And if you check this, the history very well, it will interest you to note that it is the people call as slaves or ordinary people that in modern time, they are doing better. They prosper in business. They are more educated. Do I have a witness? Whereas the royal sons, the only thing they have is the title of being from a bloodline of royalty. But there is retrogression. Why is it so? When they tell you in Africa that these people are slaves and we are the true sons of the soil, it's not a thing to brag about. Don't ever use your mouth to make such claims. You will not like the full import of what that means. What that means is the people you are calling slaves, that they cannot have right to the traditional stool, that you are the one that from the royal bloodline. What it means is one person in your bloodline, your ancestor, was a wicked man that went to those people's community and killed. And the ones that they did not kill, they enslaved them. No human being is having the blood of a slave. Every human being is created in the image of God. When someone in your ancestry, by an agency of darkness, goes to another community, kill the people, enslave the rest, bring them and put them in forced labor and use witchcraft to bind them to the community, whereby they can't go back and run, even if they are not closely watched. And they remain as slaves in that community and begin to give birth. And then in your generation now, you tell yourself that we are the ones from the royal blood. These ones were our slaves. You don't know there is an iniquity that has brought a curse on you, and you are bragging about a curse. You must repent of it. Ask questions. What were the iniquities in the past that were committed in my family? You must present them and renounce them before God and repent of them. Are we following? Number two, just in case you were a victim of abuse and now you have become a perpetrator of that abuse, it is because there is unforgiveness toward the person that molested you, that abused you. You must forgive. That is the only way that chain can break in your life. You remember the sister we were praying for the other day, and I told her she must need go back to forgive. That is the law. Whosoever sin you remit is what? Remitted unto them. If you retain it and you are still bearing the grudge, it is retained. You were the one that retained it, so it's on you, it is retained. You must forgive in your own interest. You must forgive, no matter how painful. If it pains you, if it hurts you enough, it should hurt you enough to make you forgive. Don't extend the hurt by holding on to it. Let it go. I know it's hard, but that is the only way out for your freedom. If you are going to be free, you must let it go. Hallelujah. Number three, Genesis 25 now, verse 20. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. This is an evidence that a curse can break. No matter how long the curse has traveled, it can be arrested. It can break. When you have done with the legal ground the curse is standing on, then you can take the matter to court by bringing entreaties to the Lord. So, how do you engage prayer to break generational curses? I want to give us a few scriptures quickly, and I want to tell you the reason why you need each of these scriptures. Because when you are going to win your case in court, it's not by shouting. When you are going to win your case in court, is not by getting angry. The way you win your case in court is to bring superior arguments, to bring superior positions, to bring evidences. Evidences that you are intentional about, that you are certain about, and you can use to demand your deliverance. Are we following? All right. So let's begin with the first evidence. Let's go back to Ezekiel 18 now. Let me show you where that passage applies. Ezekiel 18, chapter 18 from verse 1. We're going to take this reading. It's long, but we're going to take it from verse 1 to verse 18, and then we'll jump to verse 20. The word of the Lord came unto me again, saying, what mean ye that ye use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, saith the Lord, ye shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. And this is how that occasion will cease. God clarified it. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just and do that which is lawful and right, and had not eaten upon the mountains, that is, and indulge in idolatry, neither had lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither had defiled his neighbor's wife, that is, his relationship with his neighbor now, neither had come near to a menstruous woman, and had not oppressed any, but had restored to the debtor his pledge, had spoiled none of violence, had given his bread to the hungry, had covered the naked with a garment, he that had not given forth upon usury, neither had taken any increase, that had withdrawn his hand from iniquity, had executed true judgment between man and man, had walked in my statutes, and had kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, saith the Lord. Did you see? If God is not bored and he is intelligent, he is deliberate about listing the things that should not be done, make sure you go back and look at that list. And make sure you don't violate any of them. Are you with me? If you want the word of God to be practical in your life, learn to be deliberate in identifying them out like that and obeying them. Don't just assume that I'm filled of the Holy Ghost and I'm walking in righteousness and you are just going like that. See, if you break any of those things that are listed, the law will catch you. Tormentors will be released after you. The way to be intelligent in prosecuting destiny is to be deliberate in looking at what scripture puts in black and white and living your life by them. Did you see how he listed those things? The one that should not be done and the one that should be done. If you do the one that should not be done, that will be seen by commission. If you not do the one that you say is said to be done, that will be seen by omission. Somebody is saying, are you not bringing legalism? Well, this is the word of the Lord. And if you are wise, you will lay it to heart. Let's go on. If he begat a son that is a robber. Now, if that man considered to be just, live that lifestyle, the Bible say he shall surely live. The reason why we need these things is so that if you see any curse around your life and you x-ray yourself and you match the category of the person God say is just, you can take it to court and say, God, according to your word, I am just and this curse cannot come on me. Are you getting the point now? This is how you present your argument in court. He now say, if the child of this just man becomes a robber, a shedder of blood, and that doeth the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but even had eaten upon the mountains, defiled his neighbor's wife, had oppressed the poor and needy, had spoiled by violence, had not restored the pledge, had lifted up his eyes to idols, had committed abomination, had given forth upon usury, have taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He had done all these abominations. He shall surely die. His blood shall be upon his head. Now, lo, if this wicked man now give birth to a son that seeth all his father's sins which he had done, he sees and research into the iniquity in his bloodline, and considereth and doing it, and doeth not such like. Go on. That had not eaten upon the mountains, neither had lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, had not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither had oppressed any, had not withholding the pledge, neither had spoiled by violence, but had given his bread to the hungry, and had covered the naked with a garment. Then had taken off his hand from the poor, that had not received usury nor increase, had executed my judgments, had walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Did you see this now? So if you come from an ancestry of darkness and wickedness, and you analyze the iniquity in your bloodline, and you separate yourself unto God, and you refuse to indulge in those iniquities, what did the law say? He said, you will surely live. That is to say, you will be exempted from the curse. Let's go ahead. He said, as for his father, because he cruelly oppressed, spoiled his brother by violence, and did that which is not good among his people, lo, even he shall die in his iniquity. Yet say ye, why doth not the son bear the iniquity of the father, when the son had done that which is lawful and right, and had kept all my statutes, and had done them, and he shall surely live? The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Do you see where the premise is now? So, I say you entreat the Lord and you go to court. First of all, you will present your argument. You will repent for the iniquity of your bloodline and make your stand that according to this law, the son shall not bear the iniquity of his father. Because if my grandfather killed people, shed innocent blood, I did not shed any innocent blood. According to this law, I cannot be punished for my father. Are we together? Let's take another passage. Colossians chapter 2 verse 13. Colossians 2 verse 13 says, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven how many trespasses? Just in case you are here and you have committed abortion before, you have shed innocent blood. But just in case that is your story, somehow you checked your life and you cannot make the first claim that we saw in Ezekiel. This is your passage. You have committed trespasses. You have committed violations. But this passage says, you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he had quickened you together with him, having done what? Forgiving you all trespasses. Whether the trespass is shedding of innocent blood or you sponsored it. Whether the trespass is in whatever domain. You cheated someone, you lied against someone, whatever the trespass was, the blood of Jesus paid for everything. Let me tell your neighbor, Jesus paid for everything. We're doing deliverance for a young lady several years ago, and after praying for so long, eventually the demon began to speak. Why are you troubling me? Una no go tire. The lady is from Port Harcourt, so she was using Wafi English. Una no go tire. Pastor. Pray, pray, pray. Come out, come out, come out. Una no go tire. It was a demon. So after a while, the demon now said, okay, I go come out. Guys, I will leave for those our international audience. But this woman, I was in my house. I didn't ask for her. It was her father and her husband that brought her to me in exchange to give them wealth. I have given them the wealth. So what is going to happen now? If I leave her, where is my wealth? You return my wealth and you can have her. How can you resist such an argument? As far as that deliverance session is concerned, it is over. Do you know why? You either forget about the gift, because where are you going to get the money from? And even if you get the money, where are you going to meet the spirit and give it? And just in case you are able to track down the location of the spirit and give it to the spirit, you plus the woman will become possessed. Why? According to the law, Romans 6:16, whosoever you yield yourself to obey, you become their slave. Now that demon have said something and you have obeyed it. So the demon will not only possess a woman, to also possess you. So we brought this passage and told the demon, even if what you are saying is true, Jesus has paid. Jesus did what? He paid for everything. So get out. That was how that demon was expelled that day. If you are here tonight and the devil is telling you, you know, he reminded you the graphic picture of that thing you did for which you are now hell bound. This is your passage. This is what you take to court. He had forgiven all your debts. All your trespass, the blood of Jesus have paid for it. Next verse. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinance that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a shew of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Look at the most interesting passage. Next verse. He said, can we read it together? Let no man therefore judge you. Can you rise up tonight? Nobody can judge you again. No spirit can lay claim to you. Whether it's called a transgenerational principality, he can no longer lay claim to you. He can no longer judge you. He can no longer claim that he owns you. You are owing the devil nothing. Jesus paid for it. It's on this basis we plead the blood when we pray for legal issues, because the blood of Jesus are paid. And in particular now, because we are going to deal with an issue of a curse. That is where our Galatian passage now finds its full power. Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. Tonight, I want you to carefully think What is that curse in your life? I told you, when you are dealing with a curse, you don't pray random prayer. You don't pray generalized prayer. You identify it in particular. For those of you that did the assignment, the list of the curses mentioned in scripture, any of them you trace in your life, can you begin to pick them one by one? You mention them and say, Jesus has paid. For some of you, you may need to go down in repentance. There are iniquities upon which the curses stand. You don't just jump into fighting. Go to God in repentance and say, oh God, I heard my family, we did this thing. And that is what activated this curse. Tonight, like Daniel went in repentance to repent of the sins of his parents, the sins of his nation, the sins of his leaders. Maybe that is where you may want to start tonight. Can you lift your voice now as we begin to pray? Following us on ground, following us online, can you begin to bring repentance to God and say, oh God, I heard that this thing happened in my family. This night, I come to say, we are sorry. I repent on behalf of my family, on behalf of my father. I repent on behalf of my bloodline. We committed this trespass. We committed that wickedness. My people, we were evil. We did human sacrifice. Tonight, Jesus, I plead for mercy. I confess it. I ask that you forgive. My people did human sacrifice. My people engaged in idolatry. My people practiced witchcraft. My grandfather was in the occult. I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy. I ask for mercy. Have mercy, O God. Forgive us. Forgive us. Forgive us. We are sorry. We are sorry. We are sorry. Perhaps the trespass, you were the one that committed it. You cheated someone. You borrowed money and you refused to pay. Rather than paying, you were insulting the person you owed. Can you repent of it tonight? Any form of trespass, any form of violation, the blood of Jesus is available. Can you ask God for mercy? Lord, we are sorry tonight. This is a prayer you pray with your understanding. You pray with your understanding. You confess it. Lord, I am sorry. Lord, I am sorry. I am sorry for my lifestyle of disobedience. My abominable lifestyle. The way I talk to people. I despise your word. I disregard your word. I neglect your word. I neglect your instructions. I am sorry. Forgive me, Father. Forgive me. I plead the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now I want to give a moment to someone that needs to forgive. Somebody that want to forgive. Was it your father that hurt you so bad, molested you sexually? Was it your uncle? Was it a neighbor? Who is that person that hurt you so bad? You were so pained. You vowed you will never forgive them. Can you set yourself free in the next few seconds and forgive the person? Recall each of the people and forgive them. Forgive them. Whosoever sin you remit is remitted unto them. Set yourself free tonight. Call them by name and forgive them. Call them by name. Mention what they did to you and tell them you forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Forgive them. Let that yoke break tonight from your life. Forgive them. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Now we are going to go to court. Having dealt with the groundings for these curses, you are going to present the curse to God now and bring the legitimacy of the law. Say, Father, this is what your word says. I don't know which of the passages apply to you, but I want you to pick the passage that applies to you and present it to God and begin to demand that that curse break off of your life. Can you lift your voice one more time as we pray finally? Identify the curse in your family and demand that that curse break from off your life. On the ground of the word of God, he said, having forgiven us all trespasses, and the ordinances of the handwriting that were written against us, he took them out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. Mention that particular curse. Some of the curses come in form of a bloodline iniquity. You cannot break free from that iniquity. Can you demand that it break tonight? Let it break. I see deliverance everywhere. Deliverance is already taking place. Curses are being broken right now. Let them break. 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 By the blood of Jesus, we command the curses to break. Generational curses, break. 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 In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because of our time, as we close tonight, when you go back home, you sit down and write out these curses and write out the passages that substantiate your argument in court. Hallelujah. We may be seated. Very quickly, we want to pray for a few of our brethren online. The technical people can help us in the next 15 minutes. We'll minister to a few of our brethren online and then we'll bring the service to a close tonight. Very quickly, can you bring up the brethren on Zoom? I'd like us to make welcome God's servant, Apostle Donatus, as he comes to take this session. I'm free indeed. Choir, please help me sing that song. Yes.
No chains are holding me. It's who I choose to be.
I'm free indeed.
Oh yes.
In Christ I'm free indeed. No chains are holding me. It's who I choose to be.
Can we be on our feet? If you can stand, if you can sit, but make sure you are praying. Let's stretch forth our hands towards our brother. Please, can we know your name and where you're calling from? And what is it that you want us to agree with you in prayer? Can you
Hello?
Hear me? Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
So go ahead and tell us where you're calling from, your name, and what it is that you want us to pray with you for.
My name is Bertold. I'm with my wife, Adelia. Our situation is a little bit more complex. I wanted to know how much time do I get to share so that I don't want to take more time if I get into explaining.
No, don't take us to
Just summarize. Are you okay? Just summarize. Just say a summary. Just give a prayer point. Whatever it is that you have been going through, compress it to just a few sentences, and just so that we can just agree with you and pray. We don't have the time to take the whole time to listen to you.
I definitely understand. And it's a little difficult for me to form one prayer point based on everything that I'm trying to compress.
Okay. What will happen is that we'll assign a pastor to you so that he can listen to you after this time out and then pray with you. Because it's not only your case that we're handling right now. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Okay. Somebody else?
Hello?
Yes, let that song be playing. Let
me have a flow song. Yes, hello?
Yes, please. Can we know your name and where you're calling from? And what is it that you want us to pray with?
Oh, can you hear me? Okay. Yes, I'm sorry, my daughter. My name is Latoya. Yes, my name is Latoya Onyaso. And the Lord showed me in 2011, my great-grandparents committed adultery. And my great-grandmother and my great-grandfather were together, and they committed fornication. And my grand-aunt was born, and then my great-grandfather got married.
Excuse me, can you put here
and what had children, saying? And then came back to my great-grandmother and had my grandmother. Oh. And from that point, there's no marriage in my family that lasts.
Is that all? Excuse me.
Yes.
Maybe because of the way I'm standing.
There's adultery in the family. And so marriages don't last.
Okay.
That's
it. Yeah, they don't.
So there's adultery in the family.
Yes.
As a result of that, marriages don't last.
No. And then everyone enters into second marriages or they have fornication.
Okay. How has that applied to you particularly?
Yes. And even my own marriage. I'm born again. I married my husband in a because my husband is destroyed, and I've been praying to God. When people marry, they either marry abusive men, there's also fatherlessness in the family. Hold on, baby.
Excuse me, sister. Please help me ask her. How has that applied to her?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what she just explained.
If it's happening in her home,
yes.
In her home,
yes.
The Nicholas,
yes. The husband has those challenges as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And because of that, the issue, the cause is now being enforced.
Yes.
Now we spread forth our hands toward our sister. Now, first of all, I believe you listened to the teaching. So for a curse to lift over your life, it is not just that we pray for you. Yes. It's not just enough that we pray for you. In the book of John chapter 4, yes. Chapter 5, yes. If you read from verse 14, Jesus healed somebody at the pool. And he met the same person in the temple. And he cautioned, he said the person he warned, he said, don't go and sin. Go and sin no more, lest something worse than that will come upon you. So you see that it's not just prayer. Prayer is good, but first of all, you yourself, you have to align with what God has said. When you frustrate sin in your life, then it will be easy for you now to enforce the liberty that God has given to you and then send the curse away. But if you are still living in sin, there's no amount of prayer that will pray that will help you, because if you are not changed, the devil has legitimate ground to accuse you and to make it happen in your life. You're hearing me now.
So if it's your husband that is doing that, is it not good that we lead him to Christ? Is he born again?
Yes, sir.
He's not
yes,
born
sir.
Again. Well, maybe we'll get somebody to speak to you after this time out. But first of all, we'll just pray for you. Let's stretch forth our hand toward her.
Yes.
Let's plead for mercy. Plead for mercy. The Bible says the salvation of God, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, had appeared to all men. The grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men, teaching them to deny every ungodliness and to live soberly and righteously in this present world. Can we ask that the grace that has found her be extended to the family, be extended to the husband? Let salvation hit the husband. Let salvation reach the husband. In the name of Jesus, let the spirit of grace trouble her, trouble him. Let the spirit of grace be available to him. That the same grace that made her know Jesus. Jesus said, nobody will come unto me except it's been given to me by the Father. It's been driven by the Father. The same Holy Ghost that made the wife to meet Jesus, let the same Holy Ghost drive her, drive him into the place of salvation. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Sekemani kabrokoto likete ibrata. We declare over your life and over your destiny, even as it is being written, that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, you and your household. We declare that this salvation does not stop with you. It will reach your husband. It will turn him around to Jesus. And the curses will not hold sway in your life again. In the name of Jesus, I decree over your life and over your destiny that your home is saved. Your home is saved. Your prayers are answered. And your husband is salvaged from the yoke and shackles of sin. Liberty to you. Liberty to you. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Let's have another person.
I'm available. Oluchi.
Please, can we know your name, where you're calling from, and your prayer point, please?
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead and let us know where you're calling from, your name, and your prayer point.
Yes, I'm Philip Dom Jr. I'm calling from Fort Worth, Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. It's been September. I remember September 22nd, because I left. I quit my job, and then I was doing Uber, and then all of a sudden, there's a heavy spirit that just came over me. I took some people from the club, and a heavy spirit panic. I wanted to pass out. I was driving them, but I fought it, and I dropped them, and I couldn't even reach home, and I stopped at a gas station. I took water. I thought maybe it was something like I was tired, but then I started to walk zigzag, and all of a sudden, to cut a matter short, I called the ambulance. I told someone to call the ambulance. They took me to the hospital, did my test, checked X-ray, everything, nothing. And then they sent me back home. After 2 weeks, I was still in the same Uber. It happened to me again on the 14th of October. Since that time, I have been facing spiritual attack. I can't go anywhere. I haven't been working since that time up to now. Even testimony, when someone is giving testimony of healing, it gets me afraid. It's like I'm afraid. Even I was so attacked until even reading my Bible, I couldn't even read my Bible. I started forcing it before I can even start reading my Bible. I just been having that kind of a fear of death, fear of, anxiety, panic attack, heart palpitation, and everything just been going on with me. And I've did 30 days fast and prayer. I've done 21 days fast and prayer. My whole life right now is like fasting and praying. I've even confessed my sins and everything, but I still feel it is not that heavy like before, but I still feel that attack. To cut a matter short, I still feel that attack, and I'm afraid to even drive my own car. I mean, just like that. Even right now, As I'm talking to you, I mean, my heart is pounding.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's stretch for our hands to our brother. A spell was released toward him, and the spirit followed that spell, those words, and confusion is created in his life. There's just confusion in his life. Can we shut that door? Can we arrest that spirit? The scripture says, where two or three shall agree as touching unto anything, it shall be so in heaven. We agree with our brother, and we drive that spirit. We send that spirit packing in your life in the name of Jesus. Who bros kapapa deteke aindo sukama libala. With the key of David, that when we shut, no one opens, and when we open, no one shuts. I shut that door, that window of darkness that the devil is using to assess your life. I will build a siege of the blood of Jesus, a siege of fire around you from today. We declare the heavens open over your life. A new atmosphere over your life. We speak peace to you, Jesus. Lima, Tona, Kaba, Bola, Lipa, Popa, Jesus. Yes, right now. The Spirit of God is coming upon you right now. Come on, Talate, Yebrekemala, Hazekeya, Sebetike, Peliata, Aindo, Toka, Yisokura, Idaha. The Holy Ghost is upon you right now. The Holy Ghost is upon you right now. It's upon you right now. It's upon you right now. By your right hand side, you feel a sensation. A sensation. A sensation. Attested to the fact that the Lord is on your case. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lahi kondos liberata. We speak freedom. We speak liberty. We speak peace to your life. In the name of Jesus, you are severed from the grip of that spirit right now. In the name of Jesus, go and prosper. Thank you, Father. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Is this all? Okay. It's all right. Sister, can we know your name, where you're calling from, and the prayer point you have?
Praise the Lord. My name is Kosi Comfort. I'm calling from Texas, USA. Let me go straight to the point. I come from a family where ladies would usually not get married except they have a baby before, or they get pregnant before. And so growing up, and after I got saved, I said to myself, I got saved when I was in the university in Nigeria. And I said to myself that this is not going to happen to me. I was born out of wedlock, and I've seen this pattern. And so I stood my ground. And the more I stood my ground, it became a battle for me to get married. And I know that there's a curse operating, and that's the reason why I'm presenting my request that deliverance will come my way, that will be broken. And to be broken for other people, other ladies in my family, so that they can marry at ease. Amen.
Amen. Sister, are you born again?
Born again since I was in college. That's almost 20 years ago.
It's all right. We have to get that right before we begin to enforce the right or the liberty that is yours in Christ Jesus. So we have to get that first. It's all right. Let's stretch forth our hand to our sister. She's born again. She's the daughter of Abraham. She has been redeemed. Jesus has paid for whatever it is that Satan is standing on to accuse and bring delay and cause their seasons to pass. Today, let her voice be heard from the courtroom of heaven. We present the blood of Jesus from the courtroom of heaven on her case, on her family, everything that has to do with her and her siblings. Today, let the blood of Jesus speak mercy. Let the blood of Jesus release her from every accusation. Release her from every struggle. Release her from every resistance. Release her from the cage of marital delay. In the name of Jesus. Like a totas, a paralysis, kenemata, I barateke, sema, sema, I taste, yes, 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 yes. Thank you. We command that embargo lifted. We break that siege now. In the name of Jesus, I release you to your husband's house right now. In the name of Jesus, I say, go beyond the mark. Cross the line. Break the barrier. Enter into new frontiers in the spirit, in the natural, in every aspect of your life. Move forward. I say, cross the line. In the name of Jesus, you are free. In Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Let's have. Yes, sir, can we know your name? Go ahead and just. Tell us your name, who you're calling from, okay. And
my name is Chidi. I'm calling from Abuja.
That's right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, can.
Okay. I have a very long-standing issue. It's been a battle that I've been on for maybe about 20, 30 years now. I don't know how. Let me see if I can summarize it. I come from a polygamous family, and my mother was the second wife. She had a daughter before she married my father. And along the line, when she came in, she had to battle to get a son in order to retain herself in the family. So she's been dead for over 40-something years now. So almost 50-something years now. So I didn't get to really talk with her. I was still about 6 years or so when she died. Well, the story I gathered was that she went to various places before eventually she had me. And then I grew up. When she died, I had to live with my aunt out of my father's house because it was unconducive. But I discovered that since I grew up, things normally come cheaply to order. I had to over-struggle to get them.
Excuse me,
but
sir.
But particularly about 12 years.
Hello, sir.
Hello?
We may not have time to hear all of that. Can you coin the whole of that in just a prayer point? We just want to get the prayer point. What is it?
That point now is that we have a lot of delay, financial famine in the last 12 years. We have certain some dreams, you know, and all of them culminated in selling most of our properties, selling almost everything we had. And then we entered into serious financial famine.
That's
and
right.
Then also barrenness and all that.
So all of that this is coming from family.
Yes.
And it's just family. Sir? It's causes that had to do with family to just handle now. Sir, are you born again?
Yes.
Are you baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues?
Yes.
Have you prayed for 1 hour before in tongues in your life?
Okay. Yes.
Okay, 1 hour. At least 1 hour you have done that.
Yes.
But you're not sure of 2 hours.
No, I've not done 2 hours.
After this time out, after we have prayed for you, please go and exercise yourself in the spirit. Take time and stretch like 2 hours, maybe 14 days.
Okay.
Unbroken kind of prayer relationship. Just 14 days. Stretch. 12 to 2, 12 to 2, 14 days. Stretch. Right?
Okay.
And then you begin to see some things that you ordinarily will not see. You begin to hear some things that nobody will tell you. But for now, we're going to agree with you in prayer. Since we can't hear all of your stories concerning your family, let things begin to move. Let things grow again. in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Church, can we agree with him in prayer? Let's agree with him in prayer. Right now, you are fighting with the strength of the church. You are fighting with the strength of many. It is with the company. Can you speak resurrection to their life? Can you speak fruitfulness? Can you speak advancement? Let life, the proof of life is that it's activity. Life is active. When life comes, activity comes. Activities is not life, but life is active. Can we speak life into his life? Life into his family? Life into his foundation? Jesus said, it's for this reason that the Son of God was made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Let every work of the kingdom of darkness of your life suffer loss now. Suffer loss now. We demolish the structures of wickedness, the whole sway that those causes are finding expression in your life. I pull down those structures right now. In the assembly of the congregation, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. We stand in the corporate unction of this house and the resident grace in this on this commission. And the angels and the mystery that works with Apostle Aaron Mosai that gives him victory. I connect to that unction. I connect to that all. And I speak liberty into your life. Katuna, Pala, Shatea, Ketonos, Baradas, Ekakakakatuas, Jide, Jide, Rotena Katana. I pull down installation of darkness. I pull down structures of wickedness against your life and against your family. Today, liberty has come. I said, we pronounce liberty over your life in the name of Jesus. I speak resurrection. I speak life. Let activities begin to work in your life in the spirit and give you liberty, give you allowance. Break out, shine, because your light has come. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Pastor, I don't know whether this time. Okay, that's right. Thank you.
It's a good place to join the victory procession. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. Apostle Balas.
For he has paid my tongue, my pen already writes.
spirit.
I speak love.
It is that is dead and not working. The vocabulary to occasionally change is a spirit technology. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But the answer to all that a thief, the enemy can do, is wrapped up in life. I have come that they might have life. Life is a solution to death. Life is the answer to death. Life is the answer to destruction. Oh, Copacabana. Hey. 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 Come to now is that is such a place where wisdom in the realm of the spirit is to lift up now thine eyes. Today is day 29th, and from now henceforth is as far as your eyes can see. Listen, Isaiah chapter 8. He said, when they shall look to the earth, they will see gloominess, they will see darkness, his pain, his hopelessness. If you keep looking at the problems, you will see the problems. But it's now time to look at God's solution, God's answers, God's response. Where we have come to now, all the labors, the sacrifices, and the commitments is resting on divine moments that will be opening. And you can latch on to moments, sensitive moments, where when the Spirit says, strike the ground, you strike until what you are using to strike scatters. Because that moment will define and determine how far you can go with all that you have already put in. It's a very sensitive moment in the spirit. And I'd like you to stay sensitive to the moves and to the readings of God and the stirrings that the Lord will be bringing to your heart in the name of Jesus Christ. These are the moments where we'll be winning by obediences. The Holy Ghost will move you and say, okay, pray for 2 hours before you come to church. He's trying to put you in a condition that will give you an advantage for the moments that will be opening. The Holy Ghost will tell you, so, send money to this person, send, pay this, do this. These are times where you will multiply your victories by obediences and sensitivities. It's as far as your eyes can see. And I'd like you to be sensitive. I cannot overflow that word, sensitive. You, a word is coming up, and you know, this one is my word. That is a time, forget about who is sitting next to you. Take it! Forget about your executive comportment and latch on to something that may not come your way again. Latch on to it and let it drag you to where it is going to. That is a moment to receive things, to catch things in the spirit. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. The Lord bless us greatly. You are streaming this meeting online. The account details are on display. The Lord help you make use of them in the name of Jesus Christ. Right from when our Father started the series, one of the things I saw in the spirit is that we are in a season of ransomings. And the Bible said the riches of a man will ransom him. Is that okay? There is so many ransoming going on in the realm of the spirit, and be sensitive to divine promptings, divine steerings. You may not hear, but you can be stirred. It means you are still alive and awake in the spirit. Praise the Lord. For those of us, especially those of us on ground, but if you are participating in this fast, you have come to the season where spoils are being distributed, and you need to become faith specific now. We'd like you write out the prayer points, your prayer points, the things you are expecting God to intervene in. Write them out, because there will be rapid cancellations of those things into answers. So write them out so that you can become faith specific. Specificity in the place of prayer is the mother of answers. If you can go, just like the way Reverend was teaching us, if you know, if you identify a particular cause, you deal with it and it is dealt with. You get me? So become specific, write those things out, and when you come to
church tomorrow, have them in your hands and let them be the part of what God will be.
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.